It's kind of like that. There's a study Focus of the Family did years ago on, you know, watching kids and how they interact with a playground. And when they had the playground set up without a boundary, what they noticed is the kids would oftentimes play really close to the center. They would play right around the middle of it. They wouldn't venture too far away because they weren't comfortable getting away from that area. But then they watched young children with a playground surrounded by a boundary or fence, and they noticed that kids felt safer. They felt as if, yes, I can explore a little bit further away from the home base here,
right,
and actually stretch them to feel more comfortable to get further away from that, you know, that center playground.
Yeah.
And the analogy for people listening is those boundaries give you freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Boundaries can actually provide freedom for you to really carry out your financial plan, more so than really constraint.
That was Ben Tejas making the analogy between a retiree's budget and their freedom to spend. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We are titling today's show, Why Every Retiree Needs a Budget. While that may strike a chord with you and bring out some misconceptions about your financial health, the truth is retirement is one of the best times to budget because it can help answer the question, how much is enough, and liberate you to enjoy the fruits of your labor. Enjoy this episode. Hi, folks. Welcome back to the show. Jarrett Sebesta here. So glad that you're joining us on the podcast, Retire Repurpose. This podcast is all about retirement, as I just mentioned in the intro, but this is a much different conversation likely than you have heard over the course of the years, maybe been used to hearing, certainly the one that society will give you. And as we always kind of start the show, this is a different conversation. We're going to talk about life and retirement. How can you steward your life in such a way to have the most impact and the most fulfillment? And again, this is really going against socioeconomic norms on really what the conversation of retirement is really all about. So if you're new to the show, you're new to the platform, get used to hearing a different conversation, because this is going to be really about getting into your best life, not just the one where you don't have to work. And we're going to talk way beyond just the financials. Yes, we'll talk about money a little bit on today's show. We're not going to get into tactics, but really, how do you view money? How can you use money as a tool? How should it be framed up in your mind? Those are some things that we're going to go down today as we talk about budgeting. In fact, we titled today's show, Every Retiree Needs a Budget. If you've missed the last several shows, we've really broken down our mantra on the financial side of our business. We have a philosophy called time, talent, and treasure. Our goal is to help retirees steward their time, their talent, and their treasure, not just their treasure. We've spent a long time talking about time, about 5 or 6 episodes, just talking about how can we best utilize our time. Again, what is your greatest resource in life? Is it your treasure, your talent, or your time? Arguably, it would be your time, because it's the one that is certainly the most finite and certainly kind of clicking off the clock, so to speak, each and every day. Every single day, we have less and less time. Then we spent a lot of time talking about our talent, our repurpose process. By the way, if you haven't visited our website, retirerepurpose.com, that's going to give you a big breakdown on as to really what we all stand for when it comes to this idea of discovering who you are, reimagining your retirement in such a way where you can take your experiences, your talents, your skills, your passions, and, you know, really that desire to help people and turn that into a brand new life in retirement. And then we started really talking about treasure a couple of episodes ago. And we kicked it off last week where we started answering the question, how much is enough? And this is a question that really needed its own episode. So last week we talked about that. In fact, Ben Tejas joins me on the show now. And this is really a heart level understanding of money, where we have to get into our head about what is enough. We have to understand the difference between wealth and income. You have an entire chapter in your book talking about that. And so we spent last week's show just really defining the difference between wealth and income, because it's so important for retirees to understand that.
Yeah, Jared, I think one of the things that, you know, I take away from last week's show that is so important for a retiree and really all of us is understanding the difference between wealth and income. And for me, highlighting the importance of income. Income is your ability to give. It's your ability to do things, experience. It's the useful side of money.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like we talked about last week, wealth can oftentimes actually for a retiree be more of a hindrance to joy and happiness and bring up fear. So I was watching for some reason, it's kind of crazy. We were watching this weekend a movie my daughter picked out, and it had a bunch of sharks in it. And what I thought of every time I see a shark, you know, what I think most of our listeners should remember when they think of a shark in as it relates to this conversation, I want people to think about if you've saved your money in your working years so that you can use it in your retirement years, mm-hmm. that really your wealth or your portfolio should be shaped like a shark fin, mm-hmm. right? All those years as you're building, you're saving, you're putting money away so that you can spend it someday. At some point, it should peak out and you should say, okay, now my job is to use this money, to spend it, to give it away, right? And actually, it should very much resemble a shark fin, where in the first half of your life, you're building. And at some point, you kind of flip the switch and it begins to go down, sure. right? And you actually see the money coming out and using it. Now, it's a psychology of money question if people can handle that. And yeah. most people are like, well, I built this nest egg. Mm-hmm. I want to keep it whole. Yeah, I want to keep every single dollar there, right? I'm just going to live off the interest. Yeah. That's an okay mindset if you are planning on giving that money to your kids or charity someday. Mm-hmm. But if your goal was to save it so that you can spend it, you continue to hope that you spend it and use it,
right.
then actually it should resemble a shark fin where it grows and then at some point it starts to go down in value as you withdraw both the income and the principal.
Yeah.
At some point, I mean, we've had many shows on that concept in the past, but I think last week's show, we never really talked about that shark fin analogy, mm-hmm. and I wanted to add that.
Yeah, I think that's a really important topic because what it does is it exposes kind of your heart tie to your wealth. And again, like what you just said a few minutes ago, lots of times the wealth, the number on the screen, the stockpile, if we see that stockpile being used up, it does expose kind of our heart ties to it. And I think what you're alluding to for one example are those people who save. They don't either. Maybe they don't have a ton of heirs or kids, or maybe their plan isn't to, you know, to send it to the next generation or give large amounts away. But they still have a hard time watching that number go down, and that's a I don't want to say a red flag, but certainly an area of conversation to have with those people about why did you do this in the first place? Then, right?
It is, and I think that's something, you know, if you want to go back and listen to a show, I think, I don't know what the show number was, but it was the show on the money disorder. Mm-hmm. I remember talking through people that we couldn't really, you know, in our financial firm, like, show them enough on paper, like, you're okay. Mm-hmm. Like, you have more than enough to spend and give and do everything you want to do.
Yeah.
Because they were so focused on the fact, well, I'm not adding any more to my stockpile. I'm not adding any more. I'm taking it away.
Right.
We're like, well, we've shown you that the stockpile you have is more than adequate. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, sometimes people get into that mode and they can't spend it. Mm-hmm. And they really just try to hold on to it. And at some point, as anybody listening to this call should understand, is there's some point in the future when you will not care at all about the balance. Mm. You will not care at all about how much money's in your bank account. You will not care about what's in your 401k because you will simply be, right? At that point, we're like, I know I can't take this with me. Mm-hmm. So hopefully I've prepared the next steward. So hopefully I've been able to really enjoy that money and the, I guess, using it as a tool so that I can give an experience, as we talked about last week. But everybody needs to hear that. Mm-hmm. Like, if you think that, you know, someday you're going to be happy that you saved it all, there will come a point where you will wish you had saved less. Mm,
yeah, that's a really good point. I was literally just thinking about this exact same concept this morning because it's unseasonably cool here in Minnesota. And guess what I had to do this morning to warm my house? I had to go grab wood off of my stockpile wood pile. And we've joked on the podcast before about you know, paralleling a stockpile of wealth versus my stockpile of wood to heat my home. And I even thought about that today. I really don't care to be burning wood this deep into the year. I'm kind of tapping into my stockpile, so to speak, you know. And but then again, I'm like, well, that's what it's there for. And I have more than enough. I mean, you've been to my place. Like, I take things a little too far sometimes.
So a little too far.
I have an insane amount of wood split, and this is what it's for. It's for cool mornings when our home is cool. And there was a time where you would look at that and be like, well, I don't want to use that because that's my nice little neat stockpile. I don't want to use that. And it's really a heart condition. That's why I love last week's show and that question, how much is enough? Because it goes right to the heart of your tie with your your wealth. If you missed last week's show, go back and listen to it. And also, too, go back into the archives and find that episode. That's a great point, Ben. That one titled The Money Disorder, because we go really deep into that heart connection with our wealth and our money. So today, this is kind of part two of how much is enough. We want to extrapolate on this idea of wealth versus income that we talked about last week. And we titled today's show, Every Retiree Needs a Budget. All right. So right off the bat, you've kind of mentioned a few buzzwords there. Retiree probably not being the buzzword, but budget being the one. Let's get into this. Like, how come these two things typically don't go together?
Jared, most of the time people remember the word budget as trying to...
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-494-8310. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-494-8310. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-494-8310.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Be something constraining so that they could save more. That has been, when you hear the word budget, most people go there. They're like, well, yeah, I'm trying to skimp and make sure that I have enough at the end of the month so that I can put it away for retirement someday. And I think that comes to the negative side of when people hear the word budget, they don't even want to hear it. Like, oh, I have constraints. Like, I just want to spend what I want to spend. I want to live the way I live. I don't want to be saving something left over. Mm-hmm. And what we're talking about here for a retiree, we know how has enough, we're talking about using the budget to do exactly the opposite thing. We're talking about using that budget so that you actually do spend the money that you have put away for a day just like this.
I think it's a flip-flop again in mentality where people think that, you know, now that I'm retired, I don't need one. And the truth is that whether you needed one or not, or used one or not, now that we get to a position where, quote unquote, you don't need one, now it's probably the best time to use one. Do you find that a hard pill to swallow, or it doesn't land well, or you catch people off guard when you start talking about a budget now that you've retired?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense, right? I mean, because they're used to using a budget to allow them to save. Mm-hmm. Now we're using a budget to allow them to spend. And some constraints, good, Jared. I think certainly when you look at in your working years and even in your retired years, having a really a schedule directing your money on where it's going to go. Mm-hmm. But the use here is not so that you spend less.
Right.
It's actually so that you can spend more.
Interesting.
And I think that's where people are like, oh, that. Then the light bulb goes off. It's like, you want me to budget in travel. You want me to budget in these experiences, budget in giving. So I know, yes, I can be more free to do those expenditures. Again, getting back to this, the mindset, and people come across this all the time, is where they're like, oh, I've only got a set amount of money now. I'm not adding to it anymore.
Right.
Now I'm pulling money out.
Yeah.
They have to feel the freedom, right, to do the things they want to do with their money, the reason they saved it. They have to have that money there for those experiences, and for whether it be living or giving, they need a budget.
I can see if you didn't have those boundaries, how somebody would live very tightly and live with fear and scarcity. Again, going back to our point, when they didn't have to. Talk about the analogy of the playground and the fences, where, you know, they did studies on how far out children would go away from playgrounds with and without fences. I think that this really applies here.
Yeah, it came to me from a client and friend of mine now a few years ago, and we were sitting down. I was explaining this concept. He said, well, it's kind of like that. There was a study Focus of the Family did years ago on, you know, watching kids and how they interact with a playground. And when they had the playground set up without a boundary, what they noticed is the kids would oftentimes play really close to the center. They would play right around the middle of it. They wouldn't venture too far away because they weren't comfortable getting away from that area. But then they watch young children with a playground surrounded by a boundary or fence. And they noticed that kids felt safer. They felt as if, yes, I can explore it a little bit further away from the home base here.
Right.
And actually stretched them to feel more comfortable to get further away from that, you know, that center playground.
Yeah.
And the analogy for people listening is those boundaries give you freedom. Boundaries can actually provide freedom for you to really carry out your financial plan. More so than really constraint.
Yeah. What's interesting about that study is that lots of times they would put the, you know, the fences like far away from the actual playground, and they would have no problem going all the way up to the edge. And I think that, again, when it comes to, you know, if you've done the right thing with your money and you saved over the years, you built a nest egg and you got the plan, it should be liberating. There should be freedom and liberation in retirement. And I think that too many times, again, going back to the beginning of our conversation, people, they find themselves deeper in bondage to their wealth and their spending than ever before. So here we are talking about budgets, but saying it is a tool for you to liberate your life and be able to take it all the way to the edge and still know that you're going to be okay.
Yeah, and it allows you to plan for that income that you're going to need to meet those expenditures, Jared. I mean, it's when we expect somebody that retires today to ask for permission to pull money out of their account to spend it,
right,
it does not get spent. But when it just comes to them on a regular, consistent, monthly basis, kind of like a paycheck used to,
right?
Kind of like their Social Security income, right? It comes in, it gets spent. That's what a good income plan or this budget for a retiree needs to look like. It's like, oh, it's in our account. Now it's there. We know what it's got to do. We have it's earmarked for spending. It's earmarked for that trip. It's earmarked for that gift to charity, whatever that is. It does. It gives you that freedom to really stretch it and right, try to get to, as you do, you got to stretch some people just to feel comfortable to spend their hard-earned money.
Yeah.
It might sound weird, but some people that are like that, they have the wealth because they never lived that way before,
right?
And we're not saying we're going to have you just, you know, every trip you're going to go crazy. You're always fly first class. You're going to, you fill in the blank of the things that you didn't do before you knew that you could. But we do want some of that. I think it's okay to splurge once in a while on yourself.
Yeah.
It's okay to splurge for your family. Take the trip. Enjoy what you have saved. And a budget does really give you the freedom to do that because you know, hey, I'm expecting to spend this money this month, this quarter, this year, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it gives them both the freedom and the ability to do that.
How do you, in your experience, like what's the reaction or what have you seen? What's the general trend? Do people underestimate how they're going to spend, overestimate? What's kind of the general consensus there?
It's a great question, Jared. And what I tend to see is they underestimate early years of retirement and overestimate later. And what tends to happen is in those first few years, you're excited to do the travel, you're excited to do the experiences, you know, you've put off a number of things so that when you get to retirement, I don't love that mindset, as you know, I'd rather be doing it all along, but people do that and they get in this point where, hey, they spend a whole lot more and all of a sudden they're like, ooh, you know, we're not going to spend as much. What I tend to like to see is built into the financial plan is the ability for them to spend far more early and less later because they tend to, other than like some medical expenses and other things, most of our spending goes down as retirees as we age. You have that first, you know, 10, 15, 20 years where you're spending more and you're experiencing these things, but then you don't. And some planners miss this. They're like, well, we're going to budget, you know, $500,000 a year in spending or $200,000 or $100,000 or whatever that number is every year from now until, you know, we pass. And the reality of it is, I think that's a broken plan. I think that does not account for the fact that most people will enjoy the spending far more early in retirement and then less later.
Yeah.
So to answer the question, I think most people overestimate what they're going to spend someday, and they underestimate what they should be spending early in retirement.
That's really interesting. So let's assume like the typical, you know, American retires right around 65. Are there like some guidelines, some templates, some percentages that you kind of come into play for that first 5 or 10 years, and then it goes down by a certain percentage? How do you line that up in your head and with these plans?
Well, it's very situational, right, Jared? We're looking at somebody's health and their family history. And I'll never forget a time I had with a client where we were doing some of this planning, and we're sitting down. I was showing her income plan and kind of working through it. And I said, yeah, this plan's going to have you very comfortably spending all of this in the first 5 and 10 years. And we kind of went through it. And then she kind of shared with me, dropped the bomb. I was like, well, there's something else that I haven't shared with you yet is, you know, my family, right? None of the women in our family tend to live past age 72. Mm-hmm. It was early 70s or something. I'm like, well, that changes the game
completely.
I think people need to look at their situation, say, this is my life. Like, I have a feeling like I'm going to live to age whatever that is, and then make the most of that time. Sure. That does not just your money.
Yeah.
That's your time and your talent as well. But if you can look at your own situation, I do believe in front loading the plan. Mm-hmm. So you look at the number of years. I mean, I would say the first 5, yeah, the heaviest, and then we go to 10 and 15, a little bit less, but still heavier.
Yeah.
And then those last, you know, for normal, healthy people from 80 until, let's say, life expectancies, mid 80s, 90s,
yeah,
that last 10 to 15 years, likely you won't be spending as much on the travel and the things that, yeah, you like doing. Yeah. It'll actually start looking like work. Jared, I know when people are like, oh, we have to spend this money, it actually, right, becomes more of a burden on them.
Sure.
So I think the key there is look at your own situation, but build out a tiered spending plan, a tiered spending budget that allows you to spend far more, mm-hmm, the first 5 and 10 years, and then slowly backs off from that.
Yeah, I like this conversation. I mean, it always comes back to like, man, if we just knew when we were going to die, it would make this conversation so much easier. Obviously, the truth is that we don't, and thankfully so, probably. There's a good reason why we don't know that. But I think it really, you know, it makes us analyze our life and our time really right in our face, where you're having these very blatant conversations about really the remainder of your own life. What's their reactions when you start like saying, well, okay, sir, like you're 65 years old. I mean, how long do you think you're going to live? Like, what do people respond to that when you ask them that question?
Well, most of the time they've got a very realistic look at it.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, you know, I've got, you know, X number of years left. And, you know, it's not like a concept that they're not used to thinking about. Okay. I mean, they're retiring, so there's a reason that they're retiring. They're feeling they're running out of time,
right?
And they're feeling that. So they're also running out of good quality time. They've usually seen somebody in their family, mm-hmm, that, you know, has experienced some health concerns. There's something there. So many times retirement is a decision that's made from watching others, mm-hmm, and watching them either fail or get sick or whatever. And really what you're after for most retirees is time.
Mm-hmm.
Getting back to the beginning of the show and what we talk about time, they're after that extra 8 to 10 hours a day, whatever they used to spend at work.
Yep.
They're after getting that back and being able to do what they want to with that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a really interesting concept, because we're really talking about budgeting, and it really comes back to like how we're utilizing our time. So again, we got about a minute or two left here. Let's just again kind of wrap a bow around this show. We're saying every retiree should have a budget, but it's not to constrain you, confine you, and to save more. It's really to liberate you and set you free with not only your money, but also your life as well.
Yeah, it's so you make the most of the time that you have left, right? It's so you can feel free. You can feel unconstrained so that you can spend and give and make the most out of those later years. I hate it when I see people who are, you know, kind of trying to hold on and not live the life that they could live, mm-hmm, simply because they think they're going to run out of money. Yeah. It's our job. Really, it's our job to show them and to highlight, hey, you can do the trips. You can experience the things with your family. You can give and enjoy that. So yeah, it comes back to time. But what a budget does, it allows you to do is make the most of that time, because it frees up the financial abilities to do the things that you always wanted to do, but never did.
I love it. We're just about done with today's show. Let's talk about next week, Ben. What can people expect next week?
So next week, Jared, we're going to talk about some specific questions that if you're not talking about it with your spouse, things that you're not talking about with your financial person that you should be. And I think this is always a touchy one, but when we look at defining future lifestyle needs, some of us need some real boundaries on what is enough. And what I mean there is we need to define some finish lines. We need to make sure that we come into this discussion saying we don't allow the goalposts to continually move. We don't allow ourselves to, well, now I need a little more. Now I need a little more. So we're going to have some of that discussion next week. And I think if you're a high net worth individual, that show will really, really impact you.
Securities offered through Avantax Investment Services, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Avantax Advisory Services. Insurance services offered through an Avantax affiliated insurance agency.
Hey everybody, Jared Sebestia, host of Retire Repurposed. This podcast is dedicated to help people transition into fulfilling and purposeful retirements. Retirement is a big life change. In fact, the two most dangerous years of a person's life are the year they were born and the year they retire. Few people could just flip the switch from working a career 30 or 40 plus years, retiring on Friday without methodical steps to living what we call a repurposed retirement. To listen now, search Retire Repurposed on your favorite podcast platform, Senior Resource, or Life Audio.